Hi, welcome back to Redefined by Love. My name is Jennifer, and I am your host of the podcast. And I am so excited today to be joined by my co-host, Lucia. Lucia, say hello.
Hi, everyone.
And we are super excited to have a special guest on this week's podcast, a really good friend of mine. Her name is Tiffany Shepherd. Tiffany, say hello.
Hey, everybody.
And I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about herself and the amazing things that God is doing through her life in a couple minutes here. But if this is your first time finding this podcast, we are so glad that you are here, and we encourage you to stick around for a while. So what do we do here? We hope to redefine the way you think of yourself, the way you think of others, ultimately by redefining your understanding of the love of God for you. So I encourage you to follow, subscribe, however you found this podcast. And Tiffany, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, again, hey, everybody. I am Tiffany Shepherd. I am from Cleveland, Ohio. I've lived there all my life. I pastor a church with my husband. The name of our church is called Greater Grace International Outreach Ministries. And we've been around for about 3 years and a few months. And I just believe that God is growing us, not just in numbers, but in faith. So I'm just excited about where God is getting ready to take us and take me. I just celebrated a birthday just yesterday, so I'm excited to just be around for 38 years, and God has been so good to me in those 38 years. I just can't even imagine my life without Christ. I can't. Like, I kind of wish I found him sooner, you know, than I did, but I'm excited just about where I am in my life right now, and I have a book, my first book, that is, actually, I'm getting ready to launch it in November, and the name of the book is called The Wounds of a Woman, and the book was like on the, it really was a title that God gave to me, because I'm not even a book reader, okay, just being honest, I am not one to just be like, you know what, I don't own a library card, that's just not my thing. If books had pictures in them, then I'd probably be more interested. But but outside the Bible, I do read. I read that, but outside, I'm not a big on reading. So when God told me to write a book, I was just like, okay, maybe he's talking about my sister because she's the book person. And he's like, no, you know, you write this book. So when I first got the idea of this, I just heard the Lord speak to me and said, the wounds of a woman. So I wrote it down, and I had a conference last year. And so not knowing that the conference was actually supposed to be a book, he spoke to me, said wounds of a wife first. And then I was like, okay, what is this? And then he had me do a conference last year, but then he changed the name of the conference to Wounds of a Woman, because he said to me, I want to deal with the whole woman, not just the wives, you know, because there's women that need wholeness, there's women that need healing, right, not just people that are called wives, right, not just those women. So I want to talk a little bit about I'm going to read the introduction of the book, just so people can kind of get an understanding, and when you hear like Wounds of a Woman, the book is not just for women. It's for men, too. It's for anybody who wants to understand or who knows women who have been found in certain situations. For men who want to be able to help women heal the wounds of the past in different capacities. So I'm going to read this book. I'm going to read the introduction, and then I guess we could talk more about it if you guys got any questions. Then I guess we could go into it, okay? So, the introduction, The Silent Wounds. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the prisoners. Isaiah 61:1. There are wounds that bleed in silence. Wounds inflicted not by enemies, but by those who claim to love us. Not in darkness, but in sanctuaries filled with light. Not by strangers, but by brothers and sisters in faith who speak of God's love while wielding his sword. I write to you today as a woman who has witnessed these silent wounds. Perhaps you carry them yourself. They are the invisible scars left by spiritual abuse, the deep ache of being told you are less than in God's kingdom, the confusion of being silenced in the very places where your voice should soar with praise. These are the wounds of women in the church and in the time we brought them into the light. For too long, we have been told that our pain is a matter of perspective, that our experiences of oppression are simply misunderstandings of God's design. We have been handed tissues for our tears while being told that our tears themselves are evidence of our spiritual immaturity. We have been invited to submit to systems that crush our spirits while being assured that the crushing is somehow holy. But I have searched the scriptures and I have found something different. I have found a God who elevates women, who calls them into ministry, who entrusts them with his most precious messages. I found a Savior who defended women while religious leaders condemned them, who taught them when culture said they were incapable of learning, who commissioned them as the first evangelists of his resurrection. The God that I serve does not wound women. He heals them. This book exists because the church has a problem, and pretending it doesn't exist won't make it go away. Statistics tell us that women make up the majority of church attendees, yet they remain dramatically underrepresented in leadership positions. Stories pour in through scripture and abandonment by their faith communities when they need support the most. But statistics behind every number is a woman created in God's image, gifted by his spirit, called to his purpose, yet told she is somehow less equipped, less capable, less worthy of the roles God himself seems to have prepared for her. This book exists because I believe the word of God holds the power to heal what the misuse of God's word has wounded. I believe that when we return to scripture with honest hearts and open minds, we find not a God who oppresses women, but a God who liberates them. Not a Christ who silences women, but a Christ who amplifies their voices. Not a gospel that diminishes women, but a gospel that declares their full equality in the kingdom of God. If you are a woman who has been wounded by the church, this book is for you. Whether that wound came through being denied opportunities to serve, being trapped in an abusive marriage while being told it was God's will, or being excluded from community because you didn't fit someone else's mold of Christian womanhood, your pain is valid and your healing matters. If you are a church leader who genuinely wants to create a healthier environment for women in your congregation, this book is for you too. Perhaps you've inherited traditions without restoring them, or maybe you've sensed something was wrong but didn't know how to address it. There is hope for transformation, and it begins with honest examination of our practices in light of God's true heart. If you are someone who has never experienced these wounds personally, but wants to understand and support those who have, thank you for picking up this book. Your willingness to listen and to learn is part of the healing process. And if you are someone who fundamentally disagrees with the premises that women can be wounded by Christian institutions, I ask only that you read with an open heart. The stories you will encounter are real. The pain is genuine. And the God we serve cares deeply about both truth and justice. In the pages ahead, we will talk through four key areas where women experience wounds within Christian texts: ministry, marriage, friendships, and community, and denominational structures. This is not an anti-church book. This church is the bride of Christ, and I love her dearly. But love requires honesty about where we have fallen short of God's design. This is not anti-scripture book either, quite the opposite. I believe that when we handle the word of God correctly, it leads to freedom and not bondage. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." For too long, partial truths and twisted interpretations have kept women in bondage. But the full truth of God's word, understood in this proper context and applied with love, has the power to break every chain. As we begin the journey together, I invite you to lay down any defensiveness, any preconceived notions, any fear of what we might discover. Let us approach God's word with the same courage that led the women to the empty tomb on that morning of Jesus' resurrection, ready to encounter truths that will change everything. The wounds are real, but so is the healing. So let us begin. And that is the introduction of the book. do you guys have any questions before?
I remember the first time you sent that to me. It was probably 1 a.m. I don't know. It was probably very, very late or very early, depending on how you look at it. And
right.
You know, I remember thinking, wow, this is a really powerful message, you know, in this book. And obviously, like, there's so much that you could unpack in there, even just that introduction, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, one thing that really stuck to me as you were reading, right, was this understanding that the structure itself, like, and I don't think it's God's design for the church, but I think it's the way the church has been just influenced by society's viewpoint, right? Where we still have these debates and conversations about do we believe that women can be leaders? Do we believe women can do this or women can do that within the church, right? Uh-huh. And so that's one thing that stuck with me. Obviously, I am part of the church's leadership that's women. Uh-huh. and we are both unmarried women, right? So it's one thing how the church views it. If you're a married woman, it's kind of like that they'll say, okay, we'll give you a pass because you're married. Uh-huh. It's okay.
Right, yes, ma'am.
But when you're a single woman, unmarried, and you are running and leading a church, I'm telling you, you do get shut out of doors. You do not get the offers to speak as much. You don't get the, hey, let's welcome you to the table as fellow leaders. Mm-hmm. You get the, oh, little lady, come have a seat.
Right, right. That's true.
But you need to nurture the girls, right? And so one question I would have for you is, like, how do you feel that particular doctrine, okay, because I refuse to call that a theology, but that doctrine that is produced in the church, like, how do you feel that adds to the woundedness? Because to me, I think that there would be tons of women, right, that are wounded but too afraid to even say they're wounded by just that structure. So I'm just curious your thoughts on that particular subject. I kind of know your thoughts on that subject because we talked about it a little bit, but
yeah.
I'd like you to share those here.
I think to suppress the women is to not know the heart of God, right? And the thing is that when we oppress women, right, we kind of take down the natural parts of us, right? Because even though we are human beings, we're also spiritual beings too. So I think to suppress a woman and say, hey, you can't be in this position, but you know that God is calling you to something, there is a need, right? Like you'll always be left empty, right? The women will never find true wholeness, true peace in God, true freedom in God, as long as we're under that type of leadership, right? Because me, being a leader and being called by God, right, there's a strong sense of who I am, right, opposed to in the natural and in the spiritual, right? So, for instance, right, the Bible says, before I knew thee, right, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew thee. Then it says, then I ordained, right? So that means that before we were even human beings, we were already. God had already had a position for us before we even became flesh. So for us to now be on this side, and then somebody tells us that we aren't that, or they refuse to nurture that part, it hurts, and it kind of tears a part of us, rips us apart, because it's not fulfilling us, you know, so we still are feeling empty, right? Then even the things of life, so the woes of life that women have to go through, like single parenthood, the regular struggles that we have to go through just as women, being oppressed in society, right? I believe that it really adds to the, I won't even say the stress, I think it adds to the wounds, because we run to the church and we look to the church, or we look to our husbands, or we look to our fathers, right? To, as a sense of protection, right? But when the very thing that's supposed to protect us wounds us, what do? You see what I'm saying? We only have, men were created to protect, right? And to guide, and to even in some ways nurture, right? But when women need, in order for women to be safe, we need to have that security. We need to know that that's where we can go hide to. But when we run to the church, and we run to the men in the church, and we run into the systems in the world that are majority, let's be honest, ran by men, we run to our fathers and those things hurt us. What do we do? How can we navigate from that? So then we now turn to each other, you know, so now we have one wounded woman, we have another wounded woman, and we're trying to heal each other when that was never the heart of God. It was never that was never God's purpose. So I think being suppressed in those areas of our lives, I think they do more damage than good when we don't nurture what God has called us to do.
I agree with that. I do. I feel that personally, a lot of my growth was hindered from judgmental, very, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know what I'm trying to describe.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say.
Just that like type of presence. Yeah, in the church that just doesn't make you feel welcomed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that for me, that was my mom and you know, even other elders that are a part of the church that just kind of made me feel less than, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of my healing came from after I left that church. And I think I found other women of God that have helped me, counsel me through a lot of the healing that I had to process. Mm-hmm. And then finding, having putting my full faith in our Father, because I guess as a young woman, I did turn to a lot of men for the protection, for the guidance, for the partnership, even, you know, and I was let down a lot.
Yeah.
Until I realized there's only one Father, and he's the answer for everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't think that a lot of men know God's heart towards women. I don't, and I'm not saying that it's every man. I don't even believe that some women know how precious they are to God. There's so many examples in the Bible of where, you know, God and Jesus spoke about the women, right? Like, I think that if we had more revelation of what the scriptures was really saying, I think that there'll be less oppression, not just in the church, but in marriages and all that. Because, you know, the first thing, you know, people like to talk about is husbands, wives, submit yourself to your husband. They view submission like a wrestling move. That's what everybody think that word submission. Submission, like, yeah, we'll put you in a headlock. That is not that is not God's design. You know, so I think if we had some revelation, really had some knowledge, and we kind of spent time with God and had some relationship, I think it'll be, you know, that's my thing. What you think, Jen?
Well, I obviously agree with all this. Like, I agree. I think the only the thing that, you know, I would definitely say people don't get the most of us will say do not get that revelation of what really womanhood's role in things is, right? Especially from like the capacity of being naturally more of a nurturing essence as women, and then being the multipliers of things. Like, a man puts this ingredient and we have this ingredient, it comes together and we bake a baby, right? So I mean, it's the same in the household. If you take you know, a bunch of pieces of something, women have a natural ability to bring it together and make it cohesively become something else. I think that one of the things that I've noticed that's the most challenging, like, it, because, okay, we talked about it from a systemic church model or church culture, but even when we take it and we drill it down and we say, okay, so I've been wounded by the church. So even touching on like Lucia's point there, I've been wounded by the church. So now I'm going to gravitate toward other women that I know, right? And the irony, the heartbreaking irony is that I may gravitate to other women who are now going to further perpetuate the trauma and pain, right? And one piece that you touched on in that introduction that really stuck with me was this demonization of emotion. And I always end up talking about this. I talk about this. I typically will do a class that's like, what is the soul, right? And we talk about, Lucia, you remember that class? So I do this class, and what we talk about in the class, or one piece we talk about, is how we demonize emotion. So just because a person is hurt by a behavior, we actually celebrate the especially culturally, right? And we all on this call have kind of that cultural a little bit. We've talked about this before, Lucia. But we have these cultures that tell us the more you can take, the tougher you are, the better, right?
Yeah.
When in actuality, wounds do not disappear. They must be healed.
That's the thing.
And we want to preach a doctrine that says, well, ignore your soul. It's bad. Ignore your soul. Your soul is bad. It has no purpose. When in actuality, it does have a purpose. Its purpose is to be the intermediary through which we interpret spiritual realities. So when you take a person whose soul is wounded, right, especially if you're encountering it over and over,
yes,
and
ma'am.
Over, like as a child, you were wounded. Lucia mentioned mom. As a child, you were wounded by your family, your parents. Well, then you grow up and you get to high school age, and then your friends wound you. And then you start dating, so your boyfriend wounds you, and then you go to a church. And the church leadership wounds you. And then you have more friends that wound you. And you get married and your husband is wounded. Right? So before it's over with, you have that picture of a fragmented soul. And those wounds have to be healed. And so we don't do a good job, okay? Because we think it's either spiritual or healing, and it's not. It's both. Uh-huh. Yeah, I need to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and I need to be full of His Spirit, right? But part of what Holy Spirit does is brings healing to our soul. That's what Isaiah 61 is actually about. Uh-huh. So I believe part of the issue is also, it's not just the system. It's also that we demonize people who are honest about where they are. So if somebody honestly comes up and says, listen, you wounded me. And they're let's say they're talking to a husband. You wounded me. You caused me pain. This is painful to me. Instead of us taking that time and saying, you know what? Let's step back. Yeah. How can I be a part of God healing these wounds? But that's not what we do. What we tell people is, oh, if you were really full of the Spirit, you'd be over that. You get over that. But the truth is, we have to heal from it. And they just compound and compound and compound. And you know what? Trauma is real.
Very.
There's a lot of people inside of the church, in, dare I say it, even leadership positions in the church, that are functioning out of trauma, and they have no intention of being healed. Now, that's both male and female, so I'm not going to even
That's true.
And I would like to hear your thoughts on that. But you know, one other thing I would like to hear your thoughts too. How can a man, so if I'm, let's pretend it's a man and he's listening to this podcast and he's like, how can I, as a man, if I'm a man, participate in supporting the women in my life with moving toward an intentionality for healing?
So, first I'm going to answer that question. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you to repeat
that. Is that one easier? Go ahead.
So, the Bible tells us to be helpers one to another, right? So, first of all, in order for me to help you do anything, you have to be doing something first. That's what help is. So, if a man encounters somebody in their life, right? When it comes to being supportive of whatever wounds, whether they caused them or didn't, first find the root of the problem. Because, see, a lot of times people want to deal with what's open, out in the open now, what's on the surface.
A symptom.
And they don't want to go back. In order for you to heal something, you have to go back to the root of where it started. And you know what that requires? Listening. Mm. It requires listening. Sometimes I can sit here and I may be able to tell you some stuff that started on the surface. I may not even know where it started from. But if you listen to a person long enough, you can be able to help them unpack all of the layers. Because I heard you talking, and I was talking about the layers. As children, right, mm-hmm. I start off, I'm getting wounded by my parents, right? Mm-hmm. Then I go to high school. So now I got that trauma, right? The childhood trauma I've never dealt with. So then now I go to high school. Now I carry the childhood trauma with me, right? But yep. now I acquire some friends that I thought was my friends, but really wasn't. And I get wounds from those people. So now I have the childhood trauma on top of the adolescence trauma, right? So then now I'm carrying around the childhood trauma and the adolescence trauma. So now I'm getting ready to now go into adulthood. Mm-hmm. So now I'm dating and I run into all these men that ain't no good for me. I run into, you know, all of these people that have done me no good. I got harmed now by the society that childhood has sheltered me from, right? So now I have all of these different things. So now it's more trauma on top of the childhood trauma and the adolescence trauma. So now I'm carrying around these suitcases with all this trauma in there. And then now I'm trying to unpack it all, and I'm trying to unpack it all by myself. But then even that is overwhelming. Now my anxiety is through the roof because I don't know where to begin. So when you encounter me, all you see is that I'm a hot mess. But you don't see that I've dealt with all these other things. So you can't just approach it from, look at you, Jennifer. You look at you, Lucia. You are a hot mess. You need to get yourself together. No, because what you see is that I have a bad attitude. What you don't see is all of the walls that I put up, right? What you don't see is all of the stress from me trying to unpack all of this stuff. So if I'm now a man and my job is provision and my job is protection, right? The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that I love you and shower you with love and let you know that I'm here for you. Whether I'm married to you, whether you're my father, whether you're a male friend, whatever, right? That's going to be that's not my job. You're not my assignment. I'm going to help you. We're going to figure this out together. So this way now you know that you don't have to be alone. That's how you can support. And then another way that we can support is stop hurting. See, we gotta also understand, regardless of what you may have thought, believed, grew up, and came up under, you your own person. Self-control. Mm-hmm. You have all of these things that you now come with. You're an adult now. You're accountable to self. So now, because I say you cannot heal in the same environment you've been hurt in. Mm-hmm. So now, if it's a spouse, if you say you really love, right? And I mean really love. Love, the Bible say that love what? Covers. So if love covers, then you need to cover me. But the problem is we keep trying to pull the sheets off of something that we're not prepared to heal. Right? They say that's like pulling a Band-Aid off of the skin. Oh, and then people will say, well, let it get a little bit of air so it can heal. We can't, that's not how healing happens. Because when we pull the Band-Aid is a layer of protection. So that stops the germs from getting in, right? It stops from the dirt and all the dust to get in. Yeah. So now, right, the Bible tells us that the man's supposed to wash us with the word. So now you pulling this Band-Aid off, where's the antiseptic at? You should be washing me with the word, helping me to heal. See, what the man doesn't understand is that they have such a great job. Such a large job, a large responsibility to heal, to help the woman to heal. But if we still got all of these, and even in that, it's a lot, because some men only do what they were shown, right? They saw their father do this, right? So now, and then they got their own childhood trauma and their own adulthood traumas, and a lot of times they're not quick with the mouth, so only thing they know how to do is to use their hands. Sometimes they use their mouth, too, to tear down. So it's even in that, it's like that's a whole nother book, a whole nother story. But men can support us by listening, by covering, by helping to protect, right? Because even if you have an open wound that's gaping, if you protect it, it'll begin to heal. As long as it's uncovered, right? The dirt, the germs, and all that can still get in there. So that's how they can support.
No, that's a good point. And you know, so that brings me to another thought, right? So let's say, so this is more to the women who they're not married,
right?
And they don't have, like, let's just say, right, because if we allow grace to women who are wounded, right, then likewise we must allow grace to men who are wounded.
Agreed.
So let's say they are not surrounded by men who are healed enough for that, right? Uh-huh. So, like, for me, obviously, you know, in my experience, my healing had to come from the Lord. And don't get me wrong, I have some really good male friends, like, that have been very supportive and very loving and very, you know, kind, right? But the reality is there are some women who have encountered such abuse and trauma and mistreatment from men. Some of the best women I know actually have just encountered this over throughout a lifetime, over and over and over throughout their entire lifetime. And they just have not come across a man that is wise enough, healed enough in himself to be that protector and provider, which we know that's the divine role that men play. But the reality is some men just can't do that. They are not healed enough. They don't see that is their role, right? So how do we as women, right, step into a space where we really understand that we must, in the absence of men, to be the love of Christ, we have to realize that the love of Christ is actually where the healing happens, right?
Exactly.
I know for me, that's where my healing happened. And I've had male friends, I've had them come along and be supportive to me, right? Uh-huh. But in all honesty, if it's not really a husband, uh-huh. Like, if it's not really a husband,
uh-huh.
To some degree, I don't even think they really can cover it unless they come in as a father figure, truthfully. For me, I've had to get that healing from the Lord. You know, uh-huh. Like, I've had to say, mama didn't, daddy didn't, you know, husband didn't. Uh-huh. But Christ will. You know what I mean?
For, like, sure. Yes, ma'am. So
I think part of it too is that, and there is a component of, you know, the reality that women, we talk about this all the time in like leadership meetings and stuff like that, these conversations we have, where women will be going through something, you know, and we'll come into the church, throw ourselves on the floor.
Right,
cry,
right.
Our eyes out, weep before the Lord, and get up and be like, okay, I'm good. Yeah, I'm ready to conquer whatever, right? But men will hold it in. They will fight it. They will, I'm not, you know, going to cry in front of people. I'm not going to let this out. No, I'm going to keep this inside, right? So what about when the roles, in a way, reverse, and the woman is the healed one? And I know at least 4 marriages uh-huh. that are like this. The woman is the more healed one. The woman is the one who has gone before the Lord, weep, like Mary broke her alabaster jar and poured everything out, and in turn got healing, right? And so now she's dealing with a man that's not healed. How do we now take that healing that we've received from Christ, and somehow give it to them so that they become the instrument of Christ's love? Because I think in that Ephesians, and I'm not going to go into that, I don't want to do that. But in that Ephesians discourse book, right? Ephesians 5, I think it is, that talks about Christ yep. and the church, and it talks about marriage, right? We have to be able to read that and see the duality of the scripture that, yes, it is talking about Christ and the church, but it is talking about marriage, but it's also talking about Christ and the church, right? So how do we get to the point where we're like, you know what? I'm going to let Jesus heal. Because I think that's what we should be doing. I think that when we uncover anything, and this is male or female, right, that I'm talking to in this instance, but more on the woman, because that's what this we're talking about women here, right? So when we uncover it, you know, and let Christ be the healer, let Holy Spirit be the healer, right, and bring healing to us, you know, how do we then take that and somehow become the instrument of healing for the men in our lives, for the children, you know, especially like if you have male children, right? So some of us have male children that we have to bring that healing to. Uh-huh. They need us, their children. Uh-huh. They need us to be a safe place for them to get the healing, right? But I'm thinking of a picture of marriage where there are times when the woman has gotten the healing and somehow she's got to pour that out to a man, even one that is abusive without understanding he's abusive. Because we can talk about overt abuse versus somebody that actually does not realize they're being abusive. And I think a lot of men that we're talking about here that are wounding women, I don't think they will view themselves as abusive. I think they just think this is how it is. Yeah. So how does a woman in that situation take that healing she's got and now become the altar of healing for the men in her life, whether they're husband, brothers, friends, children? Like, how does that? Do you have any thoughts on that? That was a long discourse, my bad.
I do. No, it's okay. No, but I think it needed to be said. So I think and I believe that we can't give healing, right? Healing is something that you have to seek out for yourself, right? But what I can do while you're healing is to go and intercede on your behalf, right? Because the thing is, right, first of all, I don't believe that first of all, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree, right? So you have to first be in agreement with me that you have to heal. Because sometimes, even if we don't know that we're wounded, right? If we don't know, that means that we don't recognize. And if you don't recognize it, you can't heal what you don't know is there. So I believe that that should be some inner workings that should be done before marriage even comes about. But if you encounter someone and you decide that you want to marry them, right? The Bible says, yet again, that love covers. So I love you enough to cover you while you seek God for healing. So, but the thing is, you have to want to seek God. Mm-hmm. I can't, and if the man is not submitted, right? What I now do is, okay, you're not submitted. Now I'm gonna go to the Father on your behalf. Because at that moment, the best thing I can do for you is pray for you. Because nobody can, the only one that can heal is Jesus. And that goes back to the Band-Aid situation I'm talking about. The thing is that when a Band-Aid covers, right? I'm gonna just use this as an example. So you have the man, and I'll even say female for this sake, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say you got the female. She's the Band-Aid. She's covering you. But underneath this Band-Aid is your secret place. It's hidden. You can't see anything that's going on under there, right?
Right.
So while you're in the secret place and you going to God for yourself, God, I want to get rid of this. God, I want to do this. God, I don't want to do this. What you do is that now you're in the process of seeking God for your healing. So now while you're in the secret place, I'm continuing to cover you, which is prayer. I'm loving you through situations, right? Not to say that, and I will say this, if anybody or any woman is in an abusive relationship, this is not by any means for that we're saying you should stay in something that is unsafe. If you're not safe, then get somewhere safe. Domestic violence is also not God's heart. It's not God's heart for us to stay in those situations, right? I just wanted to put that disclaimer out there because we'll be like, you know, stay with your husband, but he beating you up every week. Like, no, that's
no, not. And when I say abusive, I want to clarify, okay?
Yeah.
Because the true definition of abuse is far, it far goes outside of just a physically abusive
right.
situation. It's abusive to be gaslit constantly. It's abusive uh-huh. to constantly have your needs be completely ignored. It's abusive to be manipulated repeatedly, right? Uh-huh. That's still abuse.
Right.
It may right. not be physical in nature, but it is equally dangerous, quite
it
frankly.
Is.
Some would even argue that it is more detrimental
yeah.
to a person than physical abuse. I'm not saying stay physically. My take on it is any type of abuse in a relationship is a reason to say we need a pause.
Agreed.
I'm not advocating for divorce, okay? Because I
right.
do believe in the sanctity of marriage, but I do advocate for separation.
Right.
If there's any form of abuse present.
Agreed.
Any form. Because once that train starts, the pain just keeps layering and layering and layering. And here's the thing. So I agree with you that the Lord is the only one that can heal. But
agreed.
Here's the thing. I do believe that part of what we're here for, right? As what the Bible says that we are representatives of Jesus Christ.
Agreed.
Right? So to some people, depending on the level of healing they need, the only Jesus Christ they're capable of seeing might be you.
Be
it
you.
Might be me. It might be
yep.
Lucia. They're not in the position to see beyond what's in front of them. So sometimes the only way they encounter Christ, right,
uh-huh.
is by how I treat them.
Exactly.
Like how, I mean, we work in the same field. We both work with people in addiction, right?
Uh-huh.
So I may talk to somebody that's full scale in addiction.
Yep.
And they're not in the position to see past the temporal. They're not there. They can't see past that right now.
Yep.
So sometimes the only Jesus they can see at the moment is how I treat them.
It's you. Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And that circles us back to where we started, right? Because we started talking about how men have the power based on the divine order, right? Of the way humanity, marriage, whatever you want to call it, is set up, that the man is to be the one to, you know, water the feminine with the word, right? So that's still that same operation. They are being, right, the vessel through which the love of God flows. It's still coming from the Lord, right? It's just, that may be the only way we can receive it right now. Because I met people that are too hurt to fathom receiving it from God. Like, they can't, like, that's too far. Like,
so,
even though we know, listen, that's the best thing you can do. the best thing I can do is go and throw myself on the ground and say, Jesus, take the wheel, help me fix this, right? I know that.
Uh-huh.
But there was a time when I didn't know that. And so God had to bring people into my life that would love me beyond where I was at in the moment.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And I think sometimes men have to do that for women. But I think sometimes we have to do that for men. We have to love them beyond where they're at in the moment, because where they're at in the moment is not their divine purpose.
Yeah.
They can't even see their divine purpose.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm talking abuse, and I do want to reiterate that, when I'm talking about abuse, I'm obviously not talking about a physically abusive person.
Right. Absolutely.
Really straightforward.
Absolutely.
Lucille will tell you, like, my stance on abuse is like, get out of there. Listen.
Yes.
No. Right?
No. Yeah. Right. 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 I just had to make sure I put that disclosure, because you know people are, you know, got to make sure we put that out.
Sometimes we've been so wounded, though, we don't even recognize abuse.
That's the key.
I'll be honest, there was a time that I didn't recognize being gaslit as abuse, or being manipulated as abuse, or being treated that way. I did not think it was abusive. I thought it was just the way men are.
Mm-hmm. And is there some people that actually do believe that? Like, there are people, well, this is how men operate. And it's like, no. Because I have encountered men that don't operate in that capacity. And they'll call them, oh, you're soft. Or you a simp. Or, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? And they think that being hard. Man. They think, oh, because a man talks soft to a woman, well, that's just not how I am, or that's just not how I move. And it's like, but the Bible says, see, and the thing that is so alarming to me is that there are a lot of men, right? This is not a male bashing session, you know what I'm saying?
And that's why I'm trying to not keep it there, because that is not what we do.
That's not what we're doing. I'm just speaking about the totality. I'm just speaking about the women who have been damaged. I'm not saying, because being honest, there are men that's been damaged too by women.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of women, because hurt people hurt people.
Yes.
I won't even say that. I'm going to say unhealed people hurt people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm not even going to even limit this comment to men, but I believe that us as people can help one another. Because the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave his only. So, if the only that we have is healing and they have nothing, of course, we now become the Band-Aid. The woman now becomes the Band-Aid and allows the space for the man to heal. And I'm going to say this. I believe that healing is readily available for everybody. I don't believe that one sex has to help the opposite sex and all that. Another woman can help another woman heal.
Mm-hmm.
A sister, a best friend, a spiritual mother, you know, a spiritual aunt. A spiritual daughter can help a spiritual mother heal, you know. So I believe that it's not just about the men covering the woman or the woman covering the man. I think anybody can do so, and that's what I talked about in this book. Even if you have not been an abuser, but you know somebody who has, or if you have not been the one that did the offending, or the one that, you know, did the offense, you can still be able to support the person who has been. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Because that's why I said, if you got a friend, if you got an uncle, if you have, because there's some people who don't have parents. Parents passed away. They don't have any of these things. But I'm going to just say this. Find someone safe. It doesn't have to be the opposite sex. It doesn't have to be. Find someone safe that you can have that'll pour into you from a place of being healed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that anybody is able to do so and able to help and aid. So, but back to your situation, to your question, the women very well can cover the man or be that band-aid, be that piece that helps them to heal and overcome situations. I definitely believe that. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, no, I think that, and I think that that's going to be a great book. Like, I personally can't wait to read it. Lucia, do you have any thoughts like that you want to chime in with and share here?
No, I think I pretty much gave my input. Besides that, I do agree with her on that. It's not you, the person, a person that wants to heal has to put that work in themselves. Yep. And the thing that we can do is pray for them.
Yep.
I agree with that 1,000%.
You know, I believe that the best thing we can do, this is my definitely closing thought, okay? Is that the best thing that we can do is facilitate an environment that brings people face to face with Jesus.
Yes, ma'am.
It doesn't matter if you're the husband, you're the wife, you're the mom, you're the child, you're the friend, you're the spiritual mother, you're the whatever you are. The shepherd, pick one, okay? The best thing we can do is bring somebody face to face with Jesus, because the truth be told, I say this all the time, I say that a moment in the presence of the Lord can heal a lifetime of pain. So they may not be in a place to go after healing. I'm holding to that because I meet people in that place. They are just not in the place to go after healing because they may not even think anything's wrong. That's what we have to remember. This may have been a pattern they saw growing up. All their friends might be this way. They may see it in culture. So they may think this is normal. This is just how it is, right? But I believe that bringing people into an environment, we often say it like this, an environment, an atmosphere that is conducive to ministry, right? Where somebody is literally coming and they're coming face to face with the Spirit of God, right? If you really, and this is my final thing, if you truly come into encounter with the Spirit of God, you cannot leave that space the same way. Mm-hmm. You just can't. Like, even if you didn't come wanting healing, even if you didn't come looking for it, you thought everything was good when you walked through the door, but you walked into that atmosphere and the Spirit, and how many times has that happened? Where you walk in the place and you're like, I'm good. My week's been all right. Maybe I'm a little irritable, but I'm cool. And then somebody hits a note. The worship leader hits a note. And you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That is literally my MO. Listen, and you know what? I've been the worship leader and seen that happen to people. And I've been like, you were just laughing. What is going on, right? And found out later that there was something they didn't even have the thought to ask, you know? Uh-huh. And like we see these verses where it says that God wants to give us more than we can ask, think, or imagine. And we always think it's big stages and money and gifts. But what if it's that level of healing that we don't even have the guts to ask for?
That's good.
We don't have
the
guts to ask for it. But he's going to... So to me, whether we do it by becoming that altar, by becoming that gateway, right, of the Spirit of God, or bring people into an environment that is just flooded with his spirit. I believe that that's the best thing we can do to facilitate and bring healing and support people. So Tiffany, I want to get your final thoughts, and I want you to share with everybody how, if they're interested, number one, how they can get in touch with you via social media or whatnot. And also, if they're interested in the book, like how can they go about purchasing or finding
yes.
it? Or... All of that good stuff, because so, I don't know that.
I got you. So my final thoughts is, it is my prayer that this book brings healing, not just to women, but to men also. Because these principles that I write about in the book could also be applied to men too. I don't want y'all to think I don't love y'all, fellas. I do. I promise y'all I do. But I just believe that God wants to heal the hearts of women, right? Also put men back in their rightful places, right? Because when we heal, we can realize what our places are, and then the men can get back in right standards. But if you want to be able to contact me, you can find me on Facebook at Tiffany Ray Shepherd. The book also will be available on Amazon beginning November 1st. The book information will also be posted on my social media. So if that is how you contact me, you can send me a message through Messenger. I respond to everybody. So if you are wanting more information, or if you are just simply somebody that maybe wants prayer or whatever, you can find me on social media, Tiffany Ray Shepherd. I ain't gonna give my phone number out.
probably not.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. No, no, but
anybody also, in any country of the world,
I'm
can
you
hear this,
to man.
I don't want you to go here
with
that. Right. But what I will do is this, just so everybody knows, like when we upload this, we are definitely going to put a link to your social media pages. So
yes, also my email
you're
address.
Listening to this podcast, yep. If you go into the description of this episode, you will actually have a link there that you can click and go into her Facebook.
Absolutely.
To follow her if you're wanting to. And you know, I always put everybody on the spot. If you want to pray for everybody, it doesn't have to be like some elaborate, you know, prayer, but just the people that happen to come across this video or this audio, actually, in this case. if you just want to pray for them and share,
absolutely.
You know, what you feel like God is showing you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you even for this podcast, oh God. God, we thank you for the visionary, God. God, and we just thank you for who you are and what you're doing, God. God, we ask you, oh God, that the hearers of this podcast, oh God, will hear these messages that were spoken about today, God. And God, that it will touch the places, oh God, where there needs to be healing, God. Where there needs to be eyes that are opened up, God. God, where there needs to be hearts that are opened up, oh God. And God, I ask you, oh God, that you will open the eyes of our understanding, oh Father God, and show us what your heart is, oh God. Show us, oh Father God, where we are. Show us who we are, oh God. And show us how you see us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, oh Father God. For us being the vessels, oh God, that you can use to be able to spread your word. God, and I even pray for this podcast on today, oh God, that this will reach who it needs to reach, oh God, and that it will be healing, oh God. God, that there will even be information, oh Father God, that somebody hears that will want to be saved, oh Father God, because of what's being spoken about here. So God, we thank you for this ministry, God. We thank you for continuing to cover your people, God. And we just want to tell you how much we love you, God. How much we honor you, God. And how much we bless you, God. In Jesus' fine, matchless, and mighty name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
So
thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week with another episode. So have a good night or day.